Yesterday evening at around 6:10, somewhere like that, the highest day of the Jewish year began. It was Yom Kippur yesterday. Yom means day, Kippur means covering. It's the day of covering or the day of atonement. That's what atone means. When you atone for something, you're covering it. You're not doing away with it, you're covering it. Reports are coming back from there saying this was one of the most highly attended celebrations they've had in a few years. Many, many people were coming to the celebration of the forgiveness of the Lord, and many were asking the question, how can we be forgiven without a temple? Where's the offering for us? And we know that the day has to come when they're going to have that temple again, and they are going to be offering some sort of sacrifice there. As Daniel chapter 9 tells us, well, matter of fact, let's take a look at Daniel chapter 9, so that your faith is resting in the Word of God, not in the Word of some preacher. In Daniel chapter 9, starting with verse 24. Matter of fact, let's start it back up at verse 21 where it says, oh, let's go to 20. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me, said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill and to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So here was what Daniel had been given as a vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. And in those 70 weeks, or 77s as it actually is, these things were going to take place. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And see that word, anoint the most holy? That's where we get our word Messiah. It is Mashiach, Mashiach. And we're going to Mashiach this holy one. So this is something to do with the Messiah, okay? Mashiach. Now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now, 62 weeks, there's 7 weeks first, so you get seven sevens, and then 62 sevens, so how much does that come to? 69. So 69 of the sevens, of the 77s, has been talked about here. And after the 62 weeks, that's you had your first seven, and there was the 62, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city, now watch this, and the sanctuary. So somebody's going to come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war of desolations are determined, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Now note what it says here, and the people of the prince who is to come. There is a prince to come. And this is speaking of the Antichrist, that prince was to come. He would come from a certain people, and those people would be the ones who destroyed the city and the sanctuary. That was done in 70 AD. By whom was that done? The Romans. The Romans destroyed the city and the sanctuary in 70 AD. So,
ultimately the Romans are responsible. Titus was the general in charge at the time. Was he Roman or was he something else?
Usually to be at that high, they had to be a Roman citizen. But that does not mean the armies of the Romans were the ones that did it. Because whoever Rome conquered, they conscripted into their forces.
For 15-year intervals.
Yes. So you could have a variety of peoples there, if you see what I'm coming from. You could have several ethnic groups represented by this person here. So it's the people of the prince who is to come. So whoever those people are that destroys it, the prince is going to come from them. So we look at it, could it be European? Yes, it could be European. Does it have to be European? No, it doesn't have to be European. Because whoever was the one destroying the temple of his people would come. What if it was all Ethiopians? What if it was Assyrian? It could be. I'm not one that can even speculate on that. I just know this. Whoever it is, he has to be coming here and make a covenant with Israel for 1 week. But in the middle of that week, he's to cut off the offering. Of course, that means then, that's 3.5 years into this covenant, there had to have been some sort of a temple or some place that they were offering offerings, because he's going to bring them to a close. I also was talking with, Al and Dave and I had a visit with Bill Adams from Bridges for Peace, a ministry of Christians to Israel, very specifically to Israel. And he was talking about the large number of peoples that are coming in from Russia, the Jewish people that are being released. You remember, part of what is going to happen in the end days is that many people are going to release Russians, or release the Jewish people and say, get out of here, get out of here, go back home, go back home. There's going to be an ingathering of Jewish people back to that country. So here we see that taking place. He was also saying with us, and I thought this was good, in Ezekiel 38, it talks about the people who live in Jerusalem were going to live in unwalled villages and peace and security. Well, he was saying a lot of people don't want to go to Israel because they think it's a dangerous place to be. He said, the safest place on earth right now is Israel. Why? Because it was a dangerous place to be. And they take precautions all the time. They're doing more than anybody else is to keep the place secure. So as he put it, they feel safe over there because they do have that, what's the shield called?
The Iron Dome.
The Iron Dome that can take care of that for them. They have security checks all the time. They learn to live in a strange environment, and they have 4 million visitors every year.
And part of their security, they are known by the UN as having the worst.
Strange, strange time. Well, anyway, this is a special time. We're coming up on Sukkot, which is the 28th. And as it comes up on the 28th, that's also the fourth blood moon. There's all kinds of things that people are associating with that. Don't know that we necessarily will, but there's all kinds of things associated with that. There are a lot of things happening in the world right now. The Pope is in America. The Pope's making his speeches all around. Our president greeted him with as many anti-Catholic people as he possibly could.
Transgenders, homosexuals, lesbians.
Amazing. But anyway, those are some of the signs of the times, some of the things that help us to know we're in the end times, and we could take a lesson from Israel in that. Let's be a people who are always prepared, always prepared. Let's recognize that we've always been in a spiritual war. There's never a time we're not in spiritual warfare. There's never a time when the adversary is not seeking to destroy the gospel or God's people. It's always there. But we also know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Consequently, we can face this battle because we know we're going to win it. So we just need to be those kind of people who are always prepared.